My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dillard and Libs
on 95.7 The Game.
What do you want to say? What do you want to say?
I want
to
say...
Tell me what's in your heart. What do you want to say today?
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy, but...
About you and I and what we just talked about, or about the 49ers and football?
I left it as an open-ended question.
I'm a free agent.
When I teach interviewing... That is something that we effort. As radio hosts, we effort, thank you, open-ended questions. What do you want to say? That is an open-ended question. You cannot answer it with a yes or a no. What do you want to say? Yeah, unless that's literally what you want to say, it's just the word yes. What do you want to say? You can talk about whatever you want.
You know what I want to say, Mark?
What do you want to say?
I want to say that numbers do lie. And I know that you're a big, like, numbers are numbers, unless numbers are numbers, and your numbers are numbers.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Right. And so you could look at the numbers from Brock Purdy last night, and you could look at QBR or quarterback rating, or you could look at whatever you want, but having watched the game a second time today, I want to say that Brock Purdy was awesome. Mm-hmm. 18 of 28, which means 10 times he threw the ball and it was not complete. And I'm looking at my notes of those 10 incompletes, and at least 5 or 6 of them were times where he did exactly what we want, which is you're pressured, and instead of running around and getting crazy and trying to do something you shouldn't, he threw it away. And of the 18 completions, I'm thinking about a number of them that were beyond elite. The first touchdown throw to George Kittle at the pylon the red zone, where this red zone offense has been terrible. It was beyond restaurant quality. Yeah. It was Michelin star quality, because that ball had to be put in a certain spot and it had to be put there in a hurry, and it was. And George Kittle, pow, 2 hands, 2 feet in, drag a toe, touchdown Niners. That throw was amazing. And the one that everyone wants to criticize, all of you armchair Twitter quarterback wannabes, was the 76-yarder to Deebo Samuel, where, oh, he just floated it up there. And thank God for Deebo that he grabbed it and he saved Brock's bacon. Well, no. That throw was actually a perfect throw, because the safety was closing, he was late, and if you would have led Deebo down the field, Deebo either gets lit up, or the safety deflects it, or picks it off, or whatever. That was the first play from scrimmage after Seattle punted, 3-0 game, it's play action, and Deebo breaks out to the left side, and he floats it out there. That throw was perfection. He threw it a little bit behind Deebo, because that's where the empty space was, and he trusted his yak brother to make the catch and do what he did, which is catch it, watch the safety fly by. Felt like I was doing a Top Gun thing. You know, fly by.
We're going to hit the brakes. He's going to fly right by.
And that's what happened. He hit the brakes and he flew right by. And then Deebo put on the afterburners, touchdown. I thought Brock Purdy last night was spectacular. There was a couple of scrambles early. There were a few plays where he was running around and he got rid of the ball and he threw it where no one could catch it. And 18 for 28 does not look eye-popping. And 255 is padded by the big Deebo catch. I get that. Brock Purdy, with every play that he could make, he made it. I thought that he was spectacular last night.
Okay. So I think it's such an interesting take because depending on who you are and what your eyeballs are doing, I've heard a lot of different takes on how Brock Purdy looked last night. Nobody thinks he was awful. Nobody thinks he was even bad. I don't even know how many people think that he was like mediocre. But I hear a lot of, well, he was not bad. He was not bad. Like, it wasn't a great game, but it wasn't bad. And then you can like move that all the way up to you who wants to give it a chef's kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fascinating to me. Now, let me start with this. Remember that Ben Solak guy who came on the station yesterday?
Solak,
watch your back. Listen, that guy comes on with Steiny and Goo, and I didn't like what he said yesterday, which I don't have in front of me anymore, Grandy, if you want to pull it. The one where he'd go, hey, listen, NFL's not for long. We should have known that the Niner run was over because it just doesn't last in the NFL. And I'm sitting here going, what are you talking about? What good quarterback, when he is under contract and playing in his 20s, for a football team, do we go, well, that's the end of that. Like, it's been 3 years, Lamar, so now the Ravens are going to suck for a while. What are you talking about? No, it's not for long. It lasts. When you have a really good quarterback, it lasts. You're usually a playoff team, provided health, every year. When you have one of the top six or seven quarterbacks in the game, and I believe that that's what the 49ers have, that's my opinion. It doesn't have to be yours, but Solak literally puts up a video, and Ben Solak is with ESPN. He's an NFL analyst, but he's also a Brock Purdy hater, and I have no problem saying that. I don't think he thinks he is. That's the problem with Brock Purdy haters. None of them think they are. They don't. I'm not saying he's. I mean, I'm not ripping Brock Purdy, but how many times have we heard the sentence? Nothing against Brock Purdy, but. And then here comes all of this BS that people want to spew.
Of course.
Never watched an athlete in my entire life in any sport have so much success and have people do such gymnastics to figure out why he's not actually good. Weirdest thing I've ever seen. And we've talked about it a lot. We get it. But Solak puts the video of the Deebo play up on Twitter. And this is what he writes. Now listen to what Dibs just said, which is that, and Herbie did too on the broadcast.
Right.
Said, brilliant play by Brock to put the ball where the open space was and let Deebo make a play on it. If he leads him a little bit further, he's going to lead him right into the safety. It's either going to be a pick or Deebo is going to get blown up out of bounds. So instead, what happened. And Solak writes, I don't want to relitigate Brock discourse for the 47,000th 296th time. But.
Oh, the big butt. Solak's got a big butt.
And it is. It's in all caps.
And you can send that to him.
He writes, this is the sort of play that drives the film watchers nuts when it comes to parsing Purdy's impact on the offense. Now, someone called him out on it. Later in this discourse, former NFL players started calling him out on it, saying this is exactly where you want to throw that ball. But his response was, this play that someone sort of suggested to him, a different play, goes, oh, this is similar. He goes, they're very, very different plays. It's not Deebo's yak that is significant so much as the adjustment to the poor throw and crazy miss by the safety. So now Purdy's throw into space is being analyzed by a professional as a poor throw and a poor miss by the safety, as opposed to a quarterback who threw the ball to an open spot to create a playmaking opportunity for a playmaker that would not get picked or hit by a defender, which I'm pretty sure is the definition of quarterbacking.
Yes, I will say that it was not a poor throw. It was a good throw, but it was a crazy miss. And I'm watching it again right now. The safety comes up in Hufanga Ian fashion, and he just flies right by. The safety thinks that he's got a chance to either break it up, blow him up, or do something that he actually was unable to do. A safety in this spot, who is late, he's way late on the play. A better thing to do would have been to break down at the 50 and try to slow down or bring down Deebo Samuel, as opposed to fly by and have no chance to break up the pass. And then Deebo, oh, it's me and a linebacker to the end zone. All right, adios, muchachos. I'm going to the end zone. So the safety did make a terrible play, but that has nothing to do with the throw.
But I'd argue that the safety made a terrible play because he's trying to time it, and that's when Brock releases it. That's where he thinks it's going to end up. That's where he thinks it's going to end up, because that's like the in-stride spot. But Brock throws to space so that Deebo can make a move on it. I heard Deebo talk about it. He goes, we're taught. When that ball goes up, you go attack the ball.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did. So what I find interesting, and we are going to do Grandy's grades in like, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half or so, sometime later in the show.
Nice.
Grandy, without giving it away, can you just say yes or no? Did you give Brock Purdy an A+?
No.
Okay. That's what I thought you'd say.
Nor did I. And I've done my grades. I don't believe in A+.
Oh, right. Sorry. Hey, Grandy, did you give Brock a straight A?
No.
Okay. You did.
I look forward to that.
Okay.
Because I've gone through all 10 of his incompletes, and I can defend 7 of them.
Okay.
And so, and the things he didn't do when he threw it, as far as game management, huddle management, and all the rest of it, he had a spectacular game.
What about 3rd and 1 on the opening drive? Deebo had to make a great play.
Yeah, not a great throw.
On an inaccurate throw.
Not a great throw.
And not a hard throw either.
It's behind him.
Yeah,
that
really
throw was,
behind him.
Well, that throw is probably a 5 out of 10. And it's behind him, high and behind him. But
Which often end up as interceptions.
They can, but when you have a very good player, you throw it in his catch radius, yep, which it was. And Deebo was able to make the catch.
So here's kind of what I'm getting at.
I have a quick correction. I gave out a number of other A-minuses. I did actually give Brock Purdy an A.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, there goes the end. That's the end of that tease.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding.
No, and that's
no, because
honestly, I'm happy.
I also gave him an A. I heard a caller with Steiny and Goo say, I don't think it was a great game for Brock, but it was a solid game. And I think there are a lot of people who think that too. And so I thought it would be interesting to hear from a lot of our callers. Just answer that based off of what your assertion is. How do you think Brock Purdy played last night? And you can go wherever you want. Give it a grade. Give it a review.
Give it a shot.
It's all you got.
Thank you. That's a 4.
Okay. So, like, and you know, I actually, and I don't know if this has ever happened before, I think you've got a better grade on Brock than I do.
Yeah. And honestly.
And so does Grandy. Well, I give him an A-.
And having watched it again this morning, having watched it with fresh eyes, knowing the result, watching what he did, I was really blown away. And I had a back and forth with my father-in-law. And I'll share that text exchange because
I know
he's not listening.
Why doesn't he listen? We need listeners on this show.
He's 80.
So?
He's out of the demo.
I don't care how old you are. Listen to the show, for crying out loud. We're talking sports over here.
I've encouraged him to listen, but this is, I think, Sudoku time.
Well,
we're in the chair doing Sudoku at 3:15. We're not listening to his son-in-law.
Sudoku?
I'll share the text message.
I can't wait.
No, you're going to love some of these.
I can't wait. Yeah. A
couple of gems in there.
How do you think Purdy played last night?
Awesome. Oh, you were setting up the...
No, I think, well, you've made yourself very clear.
I loved it.
He missed some
Brock
throws.
Purdy.
Yeah, he missed a couple throws.
I'm moving to Brockistan.
Well, see, you know why? You know why I want to give him an A-? I tell you why I'm going to give him an A- coming up next. I'll tell you. We're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. 888-957-9570. Let's call this a science experiment. And don't be scared. What do you think of Brock Purdy last night? We'll take your calls on Willard and Dibbs.
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy, but...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rick.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sideline, he goes bouncing up the Seahawks, and another big play with Kayvon Wallace making the stop there.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, boy.
Brother.
Last night was a relief, man.
Dude.
That was a relief, and I didn't need it to look perfect. I mean, I could do without special teams falling on their face yet again.
So, it's 23-3, and I picked the Niners, and I've been told very clearly not to do that. And I'm thinking, it's Ottoman City. It's Ottoman City, baby! And then they return a kickoff for a touchdown, and the Niners suddenly go docile, and Seattle scores again, and it's 23-17. And I'm thinking, do I call in sick? Do I quit my job? Do I go into witness protection? Because if they blow this one, if they blow this one, and the fans are already blaming the Dibber, third-person reference, they're blaming the Dibber for previous losses, and now it's 23-17, and the Niners go three and out?
Oh,
yeah, exactly, O. Schmidt. Shout out Casey.
And Amazon has lost all technology, apparently, as well. Go ahead.
Whatever, he didn't touch it. It turns out he did, quite firmly. And, yeah, so not only is it now 23-17, but a clear-cut call goes against them based on technology, I'm thinking, maybe I do need to move to Boise.
Bye-bye.
Dibber go bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dude, so I guess it was relief, but when Kittle scores to put him up 12 with whatever, 5 minutes to go or whatnot, I'm like, all right, baby, sweet vindication. I'm back. I'm him. I'm neither back nor him, but I felt good about it. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, that was, I can't decide if that was a good thing or a bad thing.
Which
the
one?
The Seattle comeback. And the reason I say that is because it triggered all of the everything so far this year.
All the feels.
All the PTSD
yep.
from the Rams and Cardinals games. But they survived it. They survived it. So from the files of whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, maybe that was a good thing. Maybe that was a good thing for someone to make a run at them on the road in prime time on a standalone football game and a division rival. And you stared that down and had a rookie make an interception deep in the opponent's territory. That's a big moment. For me, the moment of the year. For me, if I look at the first six games and I want to pick the most important play, it's the Renardo Green interception last night. It's the most important play of the year.
Yeah, and they had two rookies make interceptions. Yeah. And that's where, you know, don't call him Malik Mustafa with the first pick. And even through all that, you're plus three in turnovers, and yet the game was in the balance?
And the game was in the balance. Although, you know, I mean, part of that is also just that's the NFL. There's a reason at 12:15, Scott Hansen hits a little button and it's time for the witching hour.
I love it.
Where losses become wins and wins become losses. Like, there's a reason they do that. That's pro sports. They're going to make a run. They're going to make a run at you. It's just you don't want to have it happen every week.
No.
You know?
Well, especially when it happens in this fashion where you've already blown two fourth quarter leads exactly. This year, and now you're up 23-3 in a very important game. And the way that Seattle came back or started to come back was reminiscent of all year, which is special teams debacle.
Right.
A 97-yard kick return. I thought the kick return was dead.
So did I.
So did they.
It's not.
Well, especially when you don't have a kicker who can actually kick it to the end zone. And we can get into that.
Yeah, we can. You still have to tackle the other team. And so far, the Niners don't always do that on special teams. But let's stick with the conversation. We asked you, what did you think of Brock Purdy's play last night? Because I've heard everything from what Dibbs said, which is like everything short of a perfect game. You were uber, uber impressed.
Yep.
I actually, and maybe this is a sliding scale based on just the way I view Brock. Like, I view Brock as elite. So that changes the grading system. You know, you can't be impressed when you think, okay, this is an elite quarterback. Well, I don't want to say expecting elite, but like when you're really good, I'm like, yeah. I don't go, wow, what a throw. I'm like, yeah, he does that every week.
But if you go to a really good restaurant and you have a really good meal, if it's Michelin star and you go there, it's like, yeah. And it's like, that meal was awesome. It's okay to say that meal was awesome.
You ain't got
to
tell me that, brother.
I know. And you're a big time fine diner.
But my,
I'm going to eat it.
My point is I don't think that yesterday was like his even creme de la creme performance of the year. I was actually in the moment. Maybe the context matters, but I was more impressed by the Rams game. Maybe because we went into it and you're like, oh, no Debo, no George, no Christian, half of Brandon, all of that stuff. And there goes Juwan Jennings for $175 or $180 or whatever it was. Like, I was more impressed in the moment by that. This one, I'm like, yeah, I watched Brock go into Seattle and look like a baller every year. He's done it 3 years in a row.
But the way they did it in a spot where they needed it, and they went 3 of 5 in the red zone.
No doubt. Like
Three touchdowns in the red zone? Are you kidding me?
I know, crazy.
Who are these guys?
Listen, I give them a very good grade, but it's not an A because there were a couple of inaccurate balls. And that's the way we grade. It's an A-. It's not, I mean, it's a very, very good performance.
I get that.
But I've also heard people be like, eh, it was good. You know, like the tone. Not like it was good. It was, Brock was good.
I was more impressed today watching it than I was last night. And it's because of, you know, maybe the notes I took. And I'm looking at the incompletions. There was the first one. Pooney got beaten, and it was incomplete to Mason. And then the next one, another empty set, and we'll get into that in the coaching grade. I didn't like the empty sets in the deep red
zone. It's not an empty set. It's not an empty set.
It was empty, and I would dare Cosell to tell me otherwise because there was no running back there. But a lot of the incompletes, there's one where Seattle blitzed 7. And it was a scramble, and he threw it away. That, to me, is a winning play.
I agree.
When you're facing a 7-man blitz, and you scramble, and you throw it away, you don't throw a pick, you don't get sacked, you don't fumble. That, to me, is a win, because the defense was better than you. They rushed 7, you had 5 blockers, you are in trouble. So what do you do about it? You throw it away. That kind of play, I don't think, shows up unless you really do your homework like Greg and I do.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are lockstep. That's totally clear. 888-957-9570. How would you grade Brock? What did you think of his play just specifically last night? Fred in Richmond. Hi, Fred. Thank you for calling Willard and Dibs.
Hey, Dibs. Hey, Willard. I'm waiting on my invite now, Willard, because, you know, we just straight real deal Niner fans.
Hey, like, man. The house is open.
Overall, all right. Overall, though, Brock was a B+. You know, that's just more motivation for this next week against KC. A- is a B+. From when I was in high school, it just all depends on the A or the B, but the minus or the plus. So it's all the same to me, but it's just more motivation for him next week against Kansas City. Overall, it was a good game. I did have that PTSD for a hot second. You know, I guess this season is just going to be a little bit of up and down for the Niners until they get 100% healthy. At the end of the day, it was still a great victory, 3-3. On top of the division, and once Green Bay beat Arizona on Sunday, we'll own first place completely, and then I don't think we have anything else to worry about. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Right on, Fred. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know that the season's going to be up and down. I know where they are right now, and I can have two emotions at the same time, which is, with all the adversity that you faced and all the injuries that have happened, to sit here after week 6 and be 3-3 and have been able to do that on a Thursday night on the road against a divisional opponent, those are all good things. Like, you're hanging in there, and I firmly believe it's going to be okay, and there is going to be a healthier day this season, I hope, I think. So that's all good. But at the same time, I can look at it and be like, good Lord, you should be 5-1. Like, I mean, that's...
Yeah, I don't even look at it that way.
Look, it's ancient history. It's ancient history. But it's just kind of... It's tough to feel great about 3-3, even though you're in first place, knowing the way two of those three losses happened.
Of course.
But at the same time, maybe if the view is from 10,000 feet... You're like, look, with everything they've been through and losing their identity and trying to figure this out and a new coordinator and rookies being thrown in on Thursday night, it's like, geez, it could be worse.
Right. Two of the top 100 players, as voted on by NFL.com, are yet to play one snap for you. That's Christian McCaffrey and Dre Greenlaw. So neither of them has played. And another one of the top 100, Trent Williams, has needed IVs in multiple games because he came in out of shape. So you start to look at what you've been dealing with, and I'm looking at last night's game as a great example. You had Isaac Garendo as your leading ball carrier in carries and in yards, and you had somebody by the name of Patrick Taylor Jr. get 5 carries and a catch as well, because you had gotten down to that point. Brandon Ayuk was not much of a factor in the game plan. I'm okay with that, because I'm kind of like Steiny, where, you know, you don't need to have your $30 million guy. He doesn't need to have 110 catches for us to be okay. They definitely spread it around, but I look at the run game, and you lost one of your offensive linemen, Banks. He got hurt in the second half, and you lost your running back, and so you had to go to RB4 and RB5 and all the rest of it. Through all of it, you're 3-3. There's definitely a bright side to all of this, I think.
How many times so far in this Niners season have you either gotten a text or a comment from someone sitting next to you when a Niner running back gets the ball and someone goes, who's that?
Yeah, a lot.
It happened twice last night.
Who are you?
Okay, and I got a text from my buddy in a different league who I'm playing in fantasy who goes, who is Isaac Garendo? Who is that? And I'm like, well, we're about one questionable tag away from him being the number one waiver wire target of the entire NFL next week.
Exactly.
Like, that's who he is.
Well, and think about what we've gone through in the Shanahan era. Raheem Mostert was not a household name. Matt Breida, Jeff Wilson Jr.
Keep going. Sure.
Isaac Garendo. We can play this game all the way through the history of running backs with Kyle and, by the way, Mike Shanahan.
Sure.
It's kind of the Shanahan way. And even... this year where J.P. Mason, okay, Jordan Mason's going to play because Christian McCaffrey, week one, at the last minute, we were live on the air from the Hilton in Santa Clara, and it's like, wait, McCaffrey's not going to play? Jeez, we know Jordan Mason, but what could Jordan Mason do? I mean, maybe he can get 50 yards on 12 carries if we're lucky. Just don't fumble, kid. Do whatever you can do to avoid a disaster. And now he's the NFL's leading rusher. So this whole Niner thing has been built on, who is that running back?
No doubt. 888-957-9570. We're asking, what did you think of Brock's performance last night? Because we've heard a lot of different answers. Let's go to Alamo in Richmond next up. Hi, Alamo. Thanks for the call.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Good, good. Listen, I give Brock a B last night. I made a before mention that the game when they played the Cardinals, he ran around like he was Fran Tarkenton. But yesterday, it seemed like he had the game more manageable. He was more in control of what he was doing. He was very vigilant of what he was doing. And you can tell that veteran motif in him came out last night. So I don't know if it was one of those games where he had to be laser-focused, a lot of pressure on him. Whatever the case may be, the man delivered last night. So big kudos to him.
Alamo, I think that's, I mean, that's fair. Let me add
tough, but fair.
Well, but let me add one other thing to the conversation. And this is not all on him, but we do look at the quarterback more than everyone else, obviously. So if we go into the game and you're worried about their red zone offense, and their red zone offense is better, but wasn't great, what was the tail of the tape on red zone? Was it three for six?
3 of 5. I believe, yeah.
Okay, 3 of 5. That's good. That's a better percentage, obviously. They've been
not as good as they were last year.
What was last year? 70?
Almost, yep.
And
they led
was,
the league.
Okay, and they were 60. But they've been doing 40 so far this year.
Yep. We're not doing 40.
When you drive all the way down on your opening drive, Mustafa gets the interception, and you have to start inside your own 5-yard line.
At the 3.
Right? But Debo gets the tipped catch to convert on third down. And then Mason gets, I think, a 38-yard run at one point.
Yep.
So you flip the field, and now you're moving downhill. And I can tell you what all of us were thinking.
Debo for 5, Juwan for 13. Mason gets 3 on first and goal to go at the 10.
All right, and so now you're at the 7-yard line, second and goal. And I know those two plays don't work. And Matthew Wright has to come in and kick a field goal, and we're all going,
here we go again.
We go again with the freaking field goals from inside the 10-yard line. And I'm not even going to tell you that on those two plays, Brock did anything wrong. But if we're going to hand out A's, A pluses, whatever, for Brock's performance, that has to be a part of the conversation. Like, those are the plays that need to work. And that's not just on him, but there's still a little bit too much of that meat on the bone, if you will, the red zone struggles for the 49ers offense so far this year.
Well, the opening possession, that's on Kyle. And having watched the tape again today, it was them going to an empty set on second and goal from the 7, which takes away any possible threat of the run. And that's where I criticize Kyle, because you had Jordan Mason, who had already had a pretty good drive. He had a 39-yard run, or 38, on a toss, where Trent Williams absolutely demolished his Seahawk opposition on the play. And so you get second and goal at the 7 and we go empty. We're not even going to threaten a possible run. That's where I think Kyle's trying to get too cute and too smart for his own good. And on second down, Pooney got beaten for maybe the only time in the game, and so Brock's got to scramble. And on third down, they went empty again with Juszczyk as the only running back. You didn't even have Jordan Mason, and he threw for Debo and he didn't convert it. So that for me is less about Brock and more about Shanahan and a head-scratching approach for me in the lower deep red zone.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the other side to it is, as we always kind of talk about, is the micro versus the macro. And the micro is going into this game, this drive, this throw. The macro, and maybe my favorite part of Brock Purdy, and this is where I hope everyone's ready, because numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
When you say them, they are.
Unless they're my numbers.
Right.
And then they're numbers, okay? Brock Purdy, this is what you want to see. For the third consecutive year, when you pan back and just look at the whole thing, the numbers kind of always sort of kind of look the same. And I think that's what you want. You want consistency. You want to know that this is not fluky. You want to know that this is going to happen year over year. And right now, it's not a stunning touchdown to interception ratio. It's 9-4. It's 9-4. But again, the rating is over 100. Again, the touchdown to interception ratio is better than 2-1. And again, he is sitting near the top, currently second. And I know that he's gotten an extra game. But he's currently second behind Geno Smith with overall yards. And he'll stay, even after this weekend, he'll be in the top five in terms of total yards passing. And then there's all of those other metrics, such as average per attempt, where he was number one last year, and he is, checks notes,
he's number one.
Number one again this year. So that's where when I get stuck is when someone goes, oh, only 222 yards and one touchdown and two picks. It's like, well, that was yesterday. Just pan out at the end of the season, and Brock's doing the exact same thing again. And so if you want to grade it from that perspective, he's an A. He's an A quarterback.
Right, and he was an A last night, I thought, because if you want to go through all of the incompletions, the majority of them were protection breakdowns, or they were passes that he just threw away because he was running out of time. Now, the red zone, I do think, still is something that they have to get better at.
For sure.
And I'm looking at their next trip where it was first and 10 at the 13, and he threw it to Debo, and it was incomplete, and then he threw it to Juice on that little screen, which it was nice to actually see him run some screens, by the way. Mm-hmm. And they ran the screen to Juice, and he lost 3 yards, and so it was then 4th and 14, and you know that was going to be it for that red zone drive. But I do think that Brock Purdy, for the most part, on his 10 incompletes, the majority of them were either he was heavily pressured or they were throws that just were, you know, not good enough to complete the pass into coverage.
Here's some thoughts from Purdy after the game last night on how he was able to sort of avoid mistakes.
Well, I think just going into the game, if they run this is my answer, and simple as that. I just try to keep it simple and obviously check the ball down when I needed to and hit my number one or number two in my progression as efficiently as I could, and I just kept it simple. You know, last year in that game, I feel like I just got out of rhythm and I was trying to force stuff, and I just wasn't playing in the right mindset of being aggressive, being smart, and taking what the defense gave me. So I learned my lesson in that game, and then coming into this game, obviously new personnel. It's the Seahawks, not the Ravens, And so for me, it was, all right, similar scheme, yes, but this is what we're trying to attack, and how can I be efficient as best as I can? So yeah, that was my mindset.
So there again, he's comparing it. When we compared it to last year's game, he's not talking about the one in Seattle, which was on Thanksgiving night, and the Niners were fantastic.
Right. I didn't hear him say that.
No, he's comparing it to the Ravens game last right. year, because that the head coach for the Seahawks, the defensive coordinator last year for the Ravens, obviously much made about it. You, for example, thought that was a bad game for Brock. You got schooled by Greg Cosell, who thought it was the great performance of all time.
And Brock confirms what I thought about it, quite frankly, Greg, and I hope you're out there listening, because even though they did go up and down the field, and that's not the way Brock saw it, and Brock definitely forced some things that he didn't need to force, and so last night he let the game come to him, and I thought that is why I gave him an A, because when there were plays that were not there, he didn't try to make a play. He either ran it, he had 4 scrambles, or he threw the ball away.
Look, bottom line for me, and this is mainly on Brock because he's the one who gets the ball in his hands on every play. When the Niners do what they did last night and come out of a game with 0 turnovers, you are going to win that game 98% of the time.
Yeah, you should.
You have more talent. You have all of the stuff. If you go in and play clean, you're going to win. And I think that's an important thing to sort of stress to Brock, who's still a young quarterback and is now starting to feel himself a little bit in terms of how he can extend plays and run around and make plays down the field and use his legs. And so that's great. Yeah, I love seeing him extend and learn more things that are in his chamber. But at the same time, understand that if you come out of the game without turning it over, you are almost assuredly going to win. Almost assuredly.
Or you'll be in the game anyway.
At minimum. Like, you know,
right.
9 times out of 10, you've got the better team, you've got the better players. So don't make mistakes. If you don't make mistakes, you'll win.
Yeah.
And that's what they did last night.
Well, and you talk about mistakes last night, and the special teams made a mistake, and they gave up a touchdown, yeah. And that's really the only reason why Seattle got back in the game.
Sean in Petaluma wants to weigh in. Hi, Sean. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good.
Good. So I just really just wanted to just talk about Brock and just say, like, really how good he really is. I mean, we think about, you know, all these other, you know, quarterbacks that, you know, are scrambling and stuff and make plays like Patrick Mahomes. He really, to me, looks like that sometimes. I mean, he's really, like, scrambling and getting, you know, the yards he needs to. And I really just, I trust him at this point. You know, I don't think there's any, like, you know, doubt that he is great. You know, and if he's great now, he can only be greater, right? So it's been a long time since we've had a cornerback that we can really trust. And I just think that the sky is the limit for him. And, you know, you can see the way he talks and just his passion for the game. He really is just an all-around go-getter. And I just think that he's proven that. And, you know, as far as grades go and stuff, it's gonna change week to week, right? But I'm happy with him as an overall quarterback, you know, for us. And, you know, just the dimes he throws, like the one to Kittle right in the corner of the end zone. I mean, that had to be placed perfectly. I don't know many quarterbacks that can do that, you know, consistently like I've seen him do it. That's all I got. Thank
you. Sean, great stuff. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, I think this is sort of, to me, this is the arc of the emotions in watching Brock Purdy play. Year one, he comes in, you're expecting nothing, and it's kind of like, oh, he can play a little bit. And then year two, he comes in.
And his arm fell off.
Yeah, and his arm fell off. So then year two, you're wondering about, can you come back from the injury?
Yep.
But also like, all right, can you corroborate your story?
Is it real?
Right. And then they go to the Super Bowl. And then this year, I think the thought is, all right, like we know you're good, but with the contract as the backdrop, you're like, can you tighten the screws and confirm for us that you're truly one of the best QBs in the league? And that's what I found or have found very comforting about these first six games, even though they're just 3-3 and they're, you know, they haven't been perfect, obviously, and all of that. But to see him go out there and play games without a lot of his weapons, what I think this year has shown is sustainability. You see quarterbacks or athletes pop and then regress. This year, to me, makes it feel like he is regression proof.
Well, I don't think that we've seen the ceiling. So
agreed. But I think we've seen the floor. That's how I would say it. We can keep talking about that and keep taking your calls. And damn it, we got to talk about this officiating thing for a second, though. We really do. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And we're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. In other words, I'm going to share with everybody what our text thread was when this went down last night, because I found it pretty interesting on Willard and Dibs.
Meanwhile, breaking tackles, and he breaks free. Shenault, and exactly what the Seahawks needed, and Shenault for the touchdown.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
God damn it. I was in a good mood, too, and then I just listened to that.
Thanks.
Damn it. Tackle that guy. Can we talk about kickoffs and review for a second?
Sure.
Let's do both.
Okay.
We do both?
Why not?
Although, I'm having a hard time not responding to the most recent content on the Comcast business text line.
What, like, is the content?
Do I, listen, to our listeners, and to you as well.
Okay.
Do I need to apologize for how I view Brock Purdy? Do I need to apologize for it?
Only if you're being disingenuous.
Okay.
If you're just doing it because there is, no, like is Jed York paying your salary?
No, like I guess
do you
that's,
get paid no. by the sentence every time you praise Brock Purdy?
Well, I do stay in Kyle Shanahan's guest room.
And that's
I do.
A great question.
And I'm wearing a Shanahan hat. I'm wearing my Shanahan hat. Yeah.
You probably got that for free.
No, I didn't. I paid
well,
for this
Well, then
sucker.
You don't have to apologize okay. for your takes.
Okay. Like, but 415, great call for Willard saying Purdy is Joe Montana. Did I do that?
I must have missed that.
Do I do that? Am I that far off? Like, I get it. You get to see Purdy how you do. I get to see, and I don't think he's Joe Montana. I don't even know why we do the Brady, the Montana, blah, blah, blah.
I went on Seattle radio and said Brock Purdy is Tom Brady.
You did?
After 25 games.
Well,
and
that's true.
And we did that here.
That's actually true.
And I did that on Seattle radio, except for the Super Bowl.
Except for the ring.
He's actually better than Tom Brady through 25.
And actually did, I'm trying to remember, what was the arc of it? Now, Brady, it was less than 25 games, but he also, he wasn't a rookie when he got thrown in. He was a year two guy,
yes.
I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have any problem saying, I think he's really good.
Right.
Like, really, really good.
Steiny and Guru did a great thing today, and it was especially great because they did it quickly, and we've all done it, and it so played out, like, the whole thing of what other quarterback would you take instead of Brock Purdy?
Okay.
And they went through the other 31 teams.
I don't think it's that played out.
But what? They did it quickly.
Okay.
And I think they wound up where Brock Purdy was in the top 10, for sure. And he might have been in the top 8.
Okay.
And he might have been in the top 7.
He's like for sure in
the top
10.
They went so fast that it was hard for me to keep track. But like quarterbacks you would take instead of Brock Purdy, I don't think that you can get more than 6 or 7 that are definitive. And even at that... So, what are we talking about?
I don't know. I don't know. But
Is he Joe Montana?
No.
No.
Joe Montana is Joe Montana.
Right.
Right. And Brock is Brock. But the one that I think is played out is the one where a lot of you seem to think a quarterback isn't good until we've seen him play on a different team. It's like, no, you have to do it somewhere else.
Joe Montana wasn't good until he went to the Chiefs.
I mean,
Tom Brady wasn't good until he went to the Bucs.
This is going
to
sound stupid, but I've never heard anyone be like, well, we haven't. What would Mahomes look like on the Giants? What would he look like? Well, objectively now, you don't know. And I know you think you know.
But subjectively, not as good as he looks on Kansas City.
Right, like you don't. I've watched a Hall of Fame quarterback look great and go to the Giants and look like crap and then go to a different team and look great again. His name is Kurt Warner. His name is Kurt Warner, and he's got a gold jacket. So, yes, going to another team might make you look bad. Like Sam Darnold right now is going to get MVP votes if it happened today. But he looked like crap as a Jet and a Panther. I'll let you figure out why. Was it Sam? Maybe partially, but was some of it the Jets and the Panthers? Raise your hand if you think yes. My hand's up.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't need to see him anywhere else. I don't need to see any of those guys anywhere else. Josh Allen and Lamar and Burrow, none of them have played on other teams, and we fully accept that they are very, very good, if not great quarterbacks. And I've seen enough. So you don't need to share the opinion or anything like that. I'm not going to go to war with anybody. I don't think I sound that far off, especially when you listen to people who actually played the game. You know what I mean? Like the line of quarterbacks who think he's phenomenal is very long.
It's getting longer, too.
Very, very long list.
And the line of people who think that he's a system QB or the product of Shanahan or a product of that he has around him, that line is getting shorter as well. Because the more he does it, and again, 18 to 28, you can look at it however you want. I look at last night's game as not a masterclass, but that's the kind of game from a quarterback that I look at and go, that was a great performance. The plays that were there, he made them. The plays that weren't there, he didn't make them worse. He threw 3 touchdowns, and his team put up 36 points.
Like,
he had 4 scrambles that were very scrambly. They were scrambles that needed to be made. There were plays that broke down, and he got rid of the ball and didn't endanger his team's chances. He had 0 turnovers, and they won handily. If their special teams wasn't a disaster, they win that game by 20.
Here's the way I look at it, and I think that this is relatable to any NFL city or whoever you root for, because not everybody who listens to us are 49er fans, and not everybody's here in the Bay Area. I think this is relatable if you're a football fan, no matter who your team is. The emotion you're looking for when you turn on the game and just think about your team season is, are you excited that that player is your quarterback? Most NFL cities, the answer is no. Most NFL cities. Some NFL cities are in a spot where they're like, definitely not. Like Cleveland. You excited? Definitely not. We are not excited, okay? Then there's the ones who are sort of like just throwing out hope against hope. Washington, Chicago. Are you excited?
Atlanta, Minnesota.
Right. Like, yes. Well, those are different too. But the young, like the guys who have just been drafted.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Are you excited? Washington? Yes. Chicago? We think so.
Houston, you're thrilled.
Boston? No clue. About to find out.
New England, yeah.
Houston, but that, like that's
yeah,
a year
yeah,
in,
yeah.
Right?
You're right. You're right.
Right. And then there's the one where you're just like, yeah. Like, I can't wait to sit down and watch him play today. And that's how I feel. That's how I feel. I'm not saying I wouldn't trade him for Mahomes, but I don't even know what world that... Who cares? Who cares? He's here. He's yours. And, like, I love watching him play. He does stuff every week that where you're like, ooh, you know? Like, I think he's an exciting player to watch.
Very exciting. I think that the question for me comes down to a very simple one, and this is goes for all 32 teams, and it is, do you have a quarterback? And do you have a quarterback means, do you have a quarterback that you are excited about now and believe in the future? Like, Green Bay is a good example. If you asked him a year ago, do you have a quarterback? Heck, I don't know.
We're not sure. Yeah.
But now you're pretty sure. And yeah. Houston, you're sure. And we know all the big ones like Cincinnati and Buffalo and Kansas City and all the rest of it. But like, if you asked a Seattle fan, do you have your quarterback?
No.
Exactly.
No. And
he's
then,
pretty good.
He's pretty good.
But he's not the dude.
He's not going to take you to a
like
Super Bowl.
Denver, you don't know about Bo Nix.
Yeah, that's early. And so we'll see. Jacksonville. Ugh. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Ask me on Monday.
And, right. And like, there are certain guys who we've decided are good, yet their fan base is not necessarily in, hey, Philadelphia, I'm talking to you.
How about the Chargers with Justin Herbert?
No, that's if they had fans, we could ask them.
Right, fair. But the jury's out, you know, on Justin Herbert
kinda,
still.
I mean, like, I think the league really likes him. The league really likes him. But hey, Pittsburgh, do you have a guy?
Maybe right.
Well, like we're 3-2, so that's fun. You know what I mean? So like that's the way I look at it. I would argue if forget talent, I would argue that the 49er fan base is one of the 7 or 8 most confident and lucky fan bases in terms of the quarterback they have. That's how I would say it. Then, yeah. You know, any other word you want to use, you know, pick your word.
Well, and that's where, as a fan, that's where you should start, because if you're a 49er fan, do you have your quarterback? I think that for me, as a Niner fan, the answer is yes, because he is good. He's really good, and you win when he plays quarterback. So I don't know what more you want. Do you want a guy who can, off his back foot, throw it 75 yards? And if you watch last night's game, he made a couple of Mahomesian throws where he dropped down sidearm and he flipped a couple out. He makes more plays than people want to give him credit for.
I mean, that's why 9 days from day is real interesting, because yep. it's only a regular season game, but it feels like this matchup that may have chapters to it. Not Brady and Manning, because that was just annual. And these two are in a different conference. And quite frankly, they've only gone head-to-head in the Super Bowl, right? Like, I don't think... Didn't the loss to the Chiefs before was that was still Jimmy, wasn't it?
I think so.
The one from two seasons ago?
I defer to Grandy on these memories.
Correct.
Yeah, that was still Jimmy.
That was McCaffrey's first game as a Niner, correct. But he didn't start that
so
game.
So Brock has only played Patrick one time, and they went correct. To overtime, and Brock lost. So this is try two. And I like this will be a thing for some people, even though it's not the most important game of their lives. But like, hey, Purdy, go beat Patrick. And if he can do it in 9 days, that's going to be a thing for some people. All right, we're going to keep going on the phones here, and then we'll get to the replay thing and the kickoff thing. We really want to talk it out. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMC, FM, in HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.